Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Investing in Stocks for Dummies by Paul Mlajenovic, narrated by Tom Perkins. Publisher's note: in this audio edition, you will hear references to tables present in the print and ebook formats of the book. Limit of liability, disclaimer of warranty. While the publisher and authors have used their best efforts in preparing this work, they make no representations or warranties with respect to the accuracy or completeness of the contents of this work and specifically disclaim all warranties, including without limitation any implied warranties of merchantability or fitness for a particular purpose. No warranty may be created or extended by sales representatives, written sales materials, or promotional statements for this work. The fact that an organization, website, or product is referred to in this work as a citation and/or potential source of further information does not mean that the publisher and authors endorse the information or services the organization, website, or product may provide or recommendations it may make. This work is sold with the understanding that the publisher is not engaged in rendering professional services. The advice and strategies contained herein may not be suitable for your situation. You should consult with a specialist where appropriate. Further, listeners should be aware that websites listed in this work may have changed or disappeared between when this work was written and when it is heard. Neither the publisher nor authors shall be liable for any loss of profit or any other commercial damages, including but not limited to special, incidental, consequential, or other damages. Introduction. Successful stock investing takes diligent work and acquired knowledge, like any other meaningful pursuit. This book can definitely help you avoid the mistakes others have made and point you in the right direction. It gives you a heads up about trends and conditions that are found in few other stock investing guides. Explore the chapters of this book and find the topics that most interest you within the world of stock investing. Let me assure you that I've squeezed more than a quarter century of experience, education, and expertise into these sections. My track record is as good or better than the track records of many experts who trumpet their successes. More important, I share information to avoid common mistakes, some of which I made myself. Understanding what not to do can be just as important as figuring out what to do. In all the years that I've counseled and educated investors, the single difference between success and failure, between gain and loss, has boiled down to two words: applied knowledge. Take this book as your first step in a lifelong learning adventure. About this book. The stock market has been a cornerstone of the investor's passive wealth-building program for over a century and continues in this role. Recent years have been one huge roller coaster ride for stock investors. Fortunes have been made and lost. With all the media attention and all the talking heads on radio and television, the investing public still didn't avoid losing trillions in a historic stock market debacle. Sadly, even the so-called experts who understand stocks didn't see the economic and geopolitical forces that acted like a tsunami on the market. With just a little more knowledge and a few wealth-preserving techniques, more investors could have held on to their hard-earned stock market fortunes. Cheer up, though. This book gives you an early warning on those megatrends and events that will affect your stock portfolio. Other books may tell you about stocks, but this book tells you about companies' performance and financial condition and how their stock prices are affected. This book is designed to give you a realistic approach to making money in stocks. It provides the essence of sound, practical stock investing strategies and insights that have been market-tested and proven from more than 100 years of stock market history. I don't expect you to read it cover to cover, although I'd be delighted if you read every word. Instead, this book is designed as a reference tool. Feel free to read the chapters in whatever order you choose. You can skip to the sections and chapters that interest you or those that include topics that you need to know more about. Sidebars in this book give you a more in-depth look at a certain topic. Although they further illuminate a particular point, these sidebars aren't crucial to your understanding of the rest of the book. Feel free to read them or skip them. Of course, I'd love for you to read them all, but my feelings won't be hurt if you decide to skip over them. The text that accompanies the technical stuff icon, see the forthcoming section, icons used in this book, can be passed over as well. The text associated with this icon gives some technical details about stock investing that are certainly interesting and informative, but you can still come away with the information you need without reading this text. Investing in Stocks for Dummies is also quite different from the Get Rich with Stocks titles that have crammed the bookshelves in recent years. It doesn't take a standard approach to the topic. It doesn't assume that stocks are a sure thing and the be-all, end-all of wealth building. In fact, at times in this book, I tell you not to invest in stocks, or even to bet against them. This book can help you succeed not only in up markets, but also in down markets. Bull markets and bear markets come and go, but the informed investor can keep making money regardless. To give you an extra edge, I've tried to include information about the investing environment for stocks. Whether it's politics or hurricanes, or both, you need to know how the big picture affects your stock investment decisions. Foolish assumptions. I figure you've chosen this book for one or more of the following reasons. You're a beginner, and you want a crash course on stock investing that's an easy read. You're already a stock investor, and you need a book that allows you to read only those chapters that cover specific stock investing topics of interest to you. You need to review your own situation with the information in this book to see whether you missed anything when you invested in that hot stock that your brother-in-law recommended. You need a great gift. When Uncle Mo is upset over his poor stock picks, you can give him this book so he can get back on his financial feet. Be sure to get a copy for his broker, too. Odds are the broker was the one who made those picks to begin with. Icons used in this book. Useful icons are verbalized in this audiobook. Here's what they mean. Remember. When you see the remember icon, I'm reminding you about some information that you should always keep stashed in your memory, whether you're new to investing or an old pro. Technical stuff. The text attached to the technical stuff icon may not be crucial to your success as an investor, but it may enable you to talk shop with investing gurus and better understand the financial pages of your favorite business publication or website. Tip. The tip icon flags a particular bit of advice that just may give you an edge over other investors. Warning. Pay special attention to the warning icon, because the advice can prevent headaches, heartaches, and financial aches. Where to go from here? You may not need to read every chapter to make you more confident as a stock investor, so feel free to jump around to suit your personal needs. Because every chapter is designed to be as self-contained as possible, it won't do you any harm to cherry-pick what you really want to read. But if you're like me, you may still want to check out every chapter because you never know when you may come across a new tip or resource that will make a profitable difference in your stock portfolio. I want you to be successful so that I can brag about you. 1. Getting started with stock investing. In this part, brush up on stock basics, including how to calculate market capitalization and pick winners. Find out what you should do before you invest your first dollar in stocks. Evaluate your current financial goals and situation. Know the different approaches to stock investing and which approach may be right for you. Figure out the risks of stock investing and discover the best ways around them. Understand the concept of volatility. Chapter 1. Introducing the World of Stock Investing. In this chapter, knowing the essentials of stock investing, getting ready to purchase stocks, using what you know to pick successful stocks. I think that there are great stock investment opportunities in virtually any time, even for newbies. There are great stocks to help you build your wealth or provide dividend income in both up and down markets. In fact, a bear market, a long period of falling prices, can be a great time to buy stocks because they're cheaper. Think sale. The key is knowing what to do and even why, but that's what this book is for. Today's stock market is a little puzzling, but it can still be rewarding. I can only promise that if you follow the advice in this book, you'll do much better than the average investor. Note that patience and discipline count now more than ever. The purpose of this book is not only to tell you about the basics of stock investing, but also to let you in on solid strategies that can help you profit from the stock market. Before you invest, you need to understand the fundamentals of stock investing, which I introduce in this chapter. Then, I give you an overview of how to put your money where it will count the most. Understanding the basics. The basics of stock investing are so elementary that few people recognize them. When you lose track of the basics, you lose track of why you invested to begin with. This book helps you grasp these basics. Knowing the risk and volatility involved. Perhaps the most fundamental and, therefore, most important concept to grasp is the risk you face whenever you put your hard-earned money in an investment such as a stock. Related to risk is the concept of volatility. Volatility refers to a condition in which there is rapid movement in the price of a particular stock or other security. Investors use this term especially when there's a sudden drop in price in a relatively short period of time. Find out more about risk and volatility in Chapter 4. Assessing your financial situation. You need a firm awareness of your starting point and where you want to go. Chapter 2 helps you take stock of your current financial status and your goals. Understanding approaches to investing. You want to approach investing in a way that works best for you. Chapter 3 defines the most common approaches to investing. Seeing what exchange-traded funds, ETFs, have to offer. ETFs are like mutual funds, but they can be traded like stocks. I think that every stock investor should consider ETFs as a positive addition to their portfolio strategies. See Chapter 11 for the lowdown on ETFs. Remember, the bottom line in stock investing is that you shouldn't immediately send your money to a brokerage account or go to a website and click a Buy Stock button. The first thing you should do is find out as much as you can about what stocks are and how to use them to achieve your wealth-building goals. Before you continue, I want to clarify exactly what a stock is. Stock is a type of security that indicates ownership in a corporation and represents a defined portion, measured in shares, of that corporation's future success. The two primary types of stocks are common and preferred. Common stock. This type of stock, which I cover throughout this book, entitles the owner to vote at shareholders' meetings and receive any dividends that the company issues. Preferred stock. This type of stock doesn't usually confer voting rights, but it does include some rights that exceed those of common stock. Preferred stockholders, for example, have preferential treatment in certain conditions, such as receiving dividends before common stockholders in the event of a corporate liquidation or bankruptcy. Additionally, preferred stock seeks to operate similarly to a bond for investors seeking stable income. In this book, I mostly cover common stock. I also cover ETFs because they can be a valuable part of the stock investor's portfolio. Preparing to buy stocks. Gathering information is critical in your stock investing pursuits. You should gather information on your stock picks two times, before you invest and after you invest. Obviously, you should become more informed before you invest your first dollar, but you also need to stay informed about what's happening to the company whose stock you buy, as well as about the industry and the general economy. To find the best information sources, check out Chapter 5. When you're ready to invest, you need to open a brokerage account. How do you know which broker to use? Chapter 8 provides some answers and resources to help you choose a broker. After you've opened a brokerage account, it pays to get familiar with the types of orders you can implement inside that account. Find out more in Chapter 13. Knowing how to pick winners. When you get past the basics, you can get to the meat of stock picking. Successful stock picking isn't mysterious, but it does take some time, effort, and analysis. and the effort is worthwhile because stocks are a convenient and important part of most investors' portfolios. Read the following sections and be sure to leapfrog to the relevant chapters to get the inside scoop on hot stocks. Recognizing stock value. Imagine that you like eggs and you're buying them at the grocery store. In this example, the eggs are like companies, and the prices represent the prices that you would pay for the company's stock. The grocery store is the stock market. What if two brands of eggs are similar, but one costs $2.99 a carton and the other costs $3.99? Which would you choose? Odds are that you'd look at both brands, judge their quality, and if they're indeed similar, take the cheaper eggs. The eggs at $3.99 are overpriced. The same is true of stocks. What if you compare two companies that are similar in every respect but have different share prices? All things being equal, the cheaper price represents a better buy for the investor. But the egg example has another side. What if the quality of the two brands of eggs is significantly different, but their prices are the same? If one brand of eggs is stale, of poor quality, and priced at $2.99, and the other brand is fresh, of superior quality, and also priced at $2.99, which would you get? You would take the good brand because they're better eggs. Perhaps the lesser eggs are an acceptable purchase at $1.99, but they're overpriced at $2.99. The same example works with stocks. A poorly run company isn't a good choice if you can buy a better company in the marketplace at the same or a better price. Remember, comparing the value of eggs may seem overly simplistic, but doing so does cut to the heart of stock investing. Eggs and egg prices can be as varied as companies and stock prices. As an investor, you must make it your job to find the best value for your investment dollars. Otherwise, you get egg on your face. You saw that one coming, right? Understanding market capitalization and stock value. You can determine a company's value, and thus the value of its stock, in many ways. The most basic way is to look at the company's market value, also known as market capitalization or market cap. Market capitalization is simply the value you get when you multiply all the outstanding shares of a stock by the price of a single share. Calculating the market cap is easy. For example, if a company has 1 million shares outstanding and its share price is $10, the market cap is $10 million. Small cap, mid cap, and large cap aren't references to headgear. They're references to how large a company is as measured by its market value. Here are the five basic stock categories of market capitalization. Microcap, less than $300 million. These stocks are the smallest and hence the riskiest available. There's even a subsection of microcap called nanocap, which refers to stocks under $50 million, but they're not appropriate for this book. Small cap, $300 million to $2 billion. These stocks fare better than the microcaps and still have plenty of growth potential. The key word here is potential. Mid cap, $2 billion to $10 billion. For many investors, this category offers a good compromise between small caps and large caps. These stocks have some of the safety of large caps while retaining some of the growth potential of small caps. Large cap, $10 billion to $200 billion. This category is usually best reserved for conservative stock investors who want steady appreciation with greater safety. Stocks in this category are frequently referred to as blue chips. Ultra cap or mega cap, more than $200 billion. These stocks obviously refer to companies that are the biggest of the big. Stocks such as Google and Apple are examples. Remember, from a safety point of view, a company's size and market value do matter. All things being equal, large cap stocks are considered safer than small cap stocks. However, small cap stocks have greater potential for growth. Compare these stocks to trees. Which tree is sturdier? A giant California redwood or a small oak tree that's just a year old? In a great storm, the redwood holds up well, whereas the smaller tree has a rough time. but you also have to ask yourself which tree has more opportunity for growth. The redwood may not have much growth left, but the small oak tree has plenty of growth to look forward to. For beginning investors, comparing market cap to trees isn't so far-fetched. You want your money to branch out without becoming a sap. Remember, although market capitalization is important to consider, don't invest or not invest based solely on it. It's just one measure of value. You need to look at numerous factors that can help you determine whether any given stock is a good investment. Keep reading. This book is full of information to help you decide. Sharpening your investment skills. Investors who analyze a company can better judge the value of its stock and profit from buying and selling it. Your greatest asset in stock investing is knowledge and a little common sense. To succeed in the world of stock investing, keep in mind these key success factors. Understand why you want to invest in stocks. Are you seeking appreciation, capital gains, or income, dividends? Turn to chapters 9 and 10 for information on these topics. Timing your buys and sells does matter. Terms like overbought and oversold can give you an edge when you're deciding whether to purchase or sell a stock. Technical analysis is a way to analyze securities through their market activity, past prices and volume, to find patterns that suggest where those investments may be headed in the short term. Do some research. Look at the company whose stock you're considering to see whether it's a profitable business worthy of your investment dollars. Chapters 6 and 7 help you scrutinize companies. Understand and identify what's up with the big picture. It's a small world, after all, and you should be aware of how the world can affect your stock portfolio. Everyone from the bureaucrats in Europe to the politicians in the U.S. Capitol can affect a stock or industry like a match in a dry haystack. Chapter 12 gives you lots of guidance on sector opportunities. Use investing strategies like the pros do. I'm very big on strategies such as trailing stops and limit orders, and fortunately today's technology gives you even more tools to help you grow or protect your money. So head on over to Chapter 13 for insights on ways to transact stock. Look outside the U.S. stock market for opportunities. It's easier than ever before to profit from stocks offered across the globe. Find out more about investing in international stocks through American Depositary Receipts, ADRs, and international ETFs. Consider buying in smaller quantities. Buying stocks doesn't always mean that you must buy through a broker and that it must be 100 shares. You can buy stock for as little as $25 using programs such as dividend reinvestment plans. Do as others do, not as they say. Sometimes what people tell you to do with stocks is not as revealing as what people are actually doing. This is why I like to look at company insiders before I buy or sell a particular stock. This includes insider trading done by Congress. Keep more of the money you earn. After all your great work in getting the right stocks and making the big bucks, you should know about keeping more of the fruits of your investing. I cover taxes in Chapter 14. Every chapter in this book offers you valuable guidance on some essential aspect of the fantastic world of stocks. The knowledge you pick up and apply from these chapters has been tested over nearly a century of stock picking. The investment experience of the past, the good, the bad, and some of the ugly, is here for your benefit. Use this information to make a lot of money and make me proud. Chapter 2. Assessing Your Current Financial Situation and Goals. In this chapter, preparing your personal balance sheet, looking at your cash flow statement, determining your financial goals. Yes, you want to make the big bucks, or maybe you just want to get back the big bucks you lost in stocks during the bear market, a long period of falling prices, of the infamous global financial crisis of 2008 and 2009, or the lesser bear market of 2022. Either way, you want your money to grow so that you can have a better life. But before you make reservations for that Caribbean cruise you're dreaming about, you have to map out your action plan for getting there. Stocks can be a great component of most wealth-building programs, but you must first do some homework on a topic that you should be very familiar with, yourself. That's right. Understanding your current financial situation and clearly defining your financial goals are the first steps in successful investing. Let me give you an example. I met an investor at one of my seminars who had $1 million worth of Procter & Gamble stock, and he was nearing retirement. He asked me whether he should sell his stock and become more growth-oriented by investing in a batch of small-cap stocks, stocks of a company worth $250 million to $1 billion. See Chapter 1 for more information. Because he already had enough assets to retire on at that time, I said that he didn't need to get more aggressive. In fact, I told him that he had too much tied to a single stock, even though it was a solid, large company. What would happen to his assets if problems arose at Procter & Gamble? Telling him to shrink his stock portfolio and put that money elsewhere by paying off debt or adding investment-grade bonds for diversification, for example, seemed obvious. This chapter is undoubtedly one of the most important chapters in this book. At first, you may think it's a chapter more suitable for some general book on personal finance. Wrong. Unsuccessful investors' greatest weakness is not understanding their financial situations and how stocks fit in. Often I counsel people to stay out of the stock market if they aren't prepared for the responsibilities of stock investing, such as regularly reviewing the financial statements and progress of the companies they invest in. Remember, investing in stocks requires balance. Investors sometimes tie up too much money in stocks, putting themselves at risk of losing a significant portion of their wealth if the market plunges. Then again, other investors place little or no money in stocks and, therefore, miss out on excellent opportunities to grow their wealth. Investors should make stocks a part of their portfolios, but the operative word is part. You should let stocks take up only a portion of your money. A disciplined investor also has money in bank accounts, investment-grade bonds, precious metals, and other assets that offer growth or income opportunities. Diversification is the key to minimizing risk. For more on risk, see Chapter 4. I touch on volatility there, too. Establishing a starting point by preparing a balance sheet. Whether you already own stocks or you're looking to get into the stock market, you need to find out about how much money you can afford to invest. No matter what you hope to accomplish with your stock investing plan, the first step you should take is to figure out how much you own and how much you owe. To do this, prepare and review your personal balance sheet. A balance sheet is simply a list of your assets, your liabilities, and what each item is currently worth so you can arrive at your net worth. Your net worth is your total assets minus your total liabilities. I know these terms sound like accounting mumbo-jumbo, but knowing your net worth is important to your future financial success, so just do it. Composing your balance sheet is simple. You can use a spreadsheet program such as Microsoft Excel, or you can pull out a pencil and a piece of paper. Gather all your financial documents, such as bank and brokerage statements and other such paperwork. You need figures from these documents. Then follow the steps that I outline in the following sections. Update your balance sheet at least once a year to monitor your financial progress. Is your net worth going up or down? Tip: Your personal balance sheet is really no different from balance sheets that giant companies prepare. The main difference is a few zeros, but you can use my advice in this book to work on changing that. In fact, the more you find out about your own balance sheet, the easier it is to understand the balance sheets of companies in which you're seeking to invest. See Chapter 6 for details on reviewing company balance sheets. Step 1. Make sure you have an emergency fund. First, list cash on your balance sheet. Your goal is to have a reserve of at least 3 to 6 months' worth of your gross living expenses in cash and cash equivalents. The cash is important because it gives you a cushion. 3 to 6 months' worth is usually enough to get you through the most common forms of financial disruption, such as losing your job. Remember, if your monthly expenses...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?